This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We're in our respective basements, and we have a lot to get into today. Mr. Durham, how are you this morning?
I'm good. It's game day in the ACC. Miami plays Oklahoma State this afternoon, 5:30 at the Cheez-It Bowl in Orlando. They play for all the cheddar crackers you can get your hands on. And we'll talk about that ball game along with some details from basketball. Pac's interview with Dabo Swinney from yesterday's edition of Off Campus on SiriusXM comes up bottom of the hour. And Katie George will be on the sideline tonight for the Cheez-It Bowl, and she will give us a full preview from Orlando this morning. So I think this would be a nice day to maybe take some calls too, Pac, at 844-SAY-ACCN.
Yes, always. I mean, listen, I'm a pro caller. We do this all afternoon. We can do it in the morning if you're in the mood. By the way, the Cheez-It Bowl. I am, first of all, pro Cheez-It. I like the Cheez-It.
Yep.
I know we're going to have Katie, the coveted invite, on later. And I made a list of the Cheez-It products. And I want to ask her if she's got a favorite. You got, of course, the traditional baked snack cracker, the Cheez-It, which I like the most. Mm-hmm. You got the snack mix from Cheez-It. It's okay. You got the
pretty
duos,
good.
Right? You got the duos, which I don't like the duos because it's a combination of different textures. And I tried it, and, you know, you get the cheeses mixed up. It doesn't do much for me. You've got the snapped, and then you got the grooves. But I am a traditional Cheez-It guy. All right. If I'm going down to my local Harris Teeter, or if you're in South Carolina, you go to your Piggly Wiggly or wherever you go shopping, Publix, whatever.
Ingles in Georgia. Ingles in Georgia.
Whatever your supermarket, you know, choice is.
Publix.
I just mentioned Publix. I am the traditional Cheez-It guy. I'm not looking to get fancy with Cheez-It, even though you can. It's like the Pringle. I'm surprised Pringles isn't a bowl sponsor.
Kroger.
Aren't you? Yeah. Don't you think Pringles would be like a natural bowl sponsor in this day and age? I mean, here in Charlotte, we got Duke's Mayonnaise, right? We got that going on with Wake and Wisconsin coming up.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. By the way, we got the Miami and the Wake Forest helmets
tomorrow.
Behind me. Yeah. So we got the next two bowls in the ACC behind me now with Miami and Wake. But you would think Pringles would be a natural bowl sponsor. Pringles, right? I mean, Doritos has stepped up their game.
I'm sitting here trying to think of grocery stores in the ACC footprint that we might have left out. Food Line, of course, very important. Food Line, very important sponsor.
Sponsor, right.
Very important sponsor for years.
Right.
I'm leaving some off in the Northeast. We'll have to ask Josh and Drew to help us out there, and I'm sure we're forgetting some in Florida.
Some folks could call in. Let us know what their local establishment is.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That's how we do all that.
You know, here's the deal. Let me ask you this about Cheez-Its. Are you a cheddar Cheez-It guy? You know, because there are some other types of Cheez-Its.
I just ran through the
flavor-wise.
Right.
I know. Yeah, but you're just a traditional cheddar guy.
Yeah, I don't need to go fancy with the Cheez-It. I mean, good for them for thinking, quote-unquote, out of the box. But, you don't need to blow me away with that. It's like the Pringle. I don't need the 18 different flavors. I go to the regular Pringle. I go for the regular Cheez-It, you know? I'm not looking to go fancy here. I'm not.
Yeah.
I
guess the question tonight becomes, if Miami wins, do they pour Cheez-Its over the top of Manny Diaz?
Absolutely you do that. No question. And let me say, I know we're goofing around with this, but this is a very important game for Miami, in my opinion.
Oh.
And I said this yesterday.
Absolutely.
You know, when you stink it up like you did against North Carolina at home, wearing those ugly black unis, those things should have been burnt, like I told you. You can't lay that kind of an egg at home, senior day, with everything that was riding on it, and then just kind of show up not interested for the Cheez-It Bowl. You know, you've lost 9 of your last 10 bowl games. I don't want to relive, Wes, the game you did last year in the bowl, which was a waste of time for everybody.
Whew.
Right? I mean, that was bad. Miami is looking for momentum. Your recruiting class was outstanding on paper. You made strides in 2020. You took a major, major step back and a half in the North Carolina game. So you need to close. You got De'Aaron King announcing he's coming back. You got recruiting momentum. You want people to remember you for 2020 going out in style. So I think this is a really important game for Miami. And, oh, by the way, you open up the 21 campaign against Alabama. So if you want people buzzing about your program, go wear somebody out, right? I mean, no disrespect to Mike Gundy and the mullet and everything else of the Pokes. And they are, by the way, Oklahoma State, a slight favorite to win the game. But I want to see Miami play with their hair on fire this afternoon. Again, I'm going to be on the radio for a while, so I won't catch but the second half. But I want to see something from Miami in this game. I don't want to mail in.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it needs to be almost a exclamation point of 20 and a preview of 21 if you're Miami. You know, it really is kind of a bridge game. And Miami can say that because think of a win today and what that win will mean for Miami going forward, Pack. I mean, you're talking about a team that could logically now be pretty highly ranked in the preseason for whatever that means. If you finish 20 on a bang going into 21 with De'Aaron King coming back, you know, some of those perimeter guys skill-wise, the defense is back, you get some guys there. I mean, it could mean a lot to Miami.
Yeah. I think it's an important game. And I know, listen, everybody's going to talk about the two national semis coming up on Friday. I get it.
Sure, and rightly so.
And that's the way the system is now built. Everything, there's a trickle-down effect. It's all about the playoffs and then everybody else, you know, fend for yourself. But this is a really important game. When we come back here this time tomorrow, I will be fascinated to see what our highlight is leading off. Are we talking about Miami? Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Or are we talking about, man, what in the world? How can you I mean, it's going. That to me is the intrigue of the game. No disrespect to the Pokes. I know this is ACC Network. But I think Miami's got more riding on this game than Oklahoma State does, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Big picture.
I agree with you. I think for 20 and 21, you're exactly right. I think it's clearly something to say that what happened against Carolina in the final home game was just, you know, an off day, if you will. And then, hey, look, this is who we're going to be not only to close the year, but this is who we're going to be in 21.
Yeah.
Think about it. You beat Oklahoma State and you do it impressively today in Orlando for Miami. I don't think it's a stretch to say they're potential top 10 in preseason, are you?
Well, it gives you a reason for people to hype up the offseason given your opener against Bama and you closed strong.
Right.
But if you lay another egg in a bowl and make it 10 of 11 and you know, after getting beat by 1,000 at home, giving up nearly 800 yards to North Carolina, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, same old with Miami. You know, here we go again. So this – a perception game, if there's ever been one, is this afternoon at the Cheez-It Bowl. Yeah. All right. We'll get into this game more as the day goes on. But, Wes, hard to believe, 42 years ago. 42 years ago tonight was one of the most remarkable one of the most remarkable games historically in college football history. People. First game for youngster people. And there is the legendary Woody Hayes, right? His last game ever.
Steve Fuller.
Yep. There's run the option, youngster.
And look Woody at all the Tiger fans.
Oh, man. Gator Bowl, that was a time. Listen, back in that day now, you got to the Gator Bowl. That was a big deal. Gator Bowl was rocking back then, man. And that was a easy trip. Yep. For the folks in the upstate. But Woody Hayes with the punch on Charlie Ballman. He just lost it. And I, you know, you'll hear our interview with Dabo Swinney coming up. And I asked Dabo if he watched this game as a kid. And bam, there's the punch. That was the end of Woody Hayes. Last game. What a great coach. But, man, he just went out about as undistinguished an exit as you can get in college football history. Art Schleister, remember that name? From Ohio State fame, throwing the pick, Charlie Ballman.
Oh, yeah.
And Woody just lost it. I mean, just lost it. And I still remember the game and the late, great broadcaster had no idea. It was almost like he didn't want to admit that he saw it. Keith Jackson. I'll never forget watching it going, hey, Keith, did you not just see Woody Hayes punch the dude in the neck? And he didn't.
Interesting. Yeah. He told that story, I want to say 4 or 5 years before Keith passed away. He told the long story of the game and the production, because you see the clip of the injured player, and they're trying to sort out who the injured player was. And rightly so, you look down, you see a player injured, and the play comes to another spot on the field. It's right there in front of the bench. And again, even back then, you probably followed the monitor, but you didn't follow the monitor as a directive. And there's the Tiger player that when it was injured on the play, and therefore Keith Jackson and Frank Broyles, who were doing the Gator Bowl that night for ABC, did not see it.
Yep.
Did not see the punch that that Woody Hayes threw to Charlie Baumann. But nonetheless, it is the landmark piece of the night. A lot of people, you know, don't remember Clemson won the game 17-15. By the way, Carolina beat Michigan the next year in the Gator Bowl by the same score, which was interesting. In a huge two wins for the ACC, by the way, against the Big Ten in consecutive years at the Gator Bowl. And that was back in the day when the Gator Bowl, as I recall, Pac, was a big deal and still is. It's got great history, much like several of these bowl games. But remember that Gator Bowl was on a night on ABC? Remember the games that used to be played in, like, at night and in between Christmas and New Year's at the Gator Bowl? They were sensational bowl games.
Well, we also had like a dozen bowls. So, like, when you made a bowl game, it was a big deal. It's not like, hey, you rolled out of bed now and you're one of 65 teams or 80 teams are going to a bowl. when you went to the Gator Bowl, it wasn't the major, but it was right beneath being a major, right? That, if you got to the Gator Bowl. But that was Danny Ford's first game as a head coach and Woody Hayes' last game. And ironically, wouldn't you know it, Ohio State and Clemson with this interesting series. Almost seems like every game has an amazing storyline to it. And that's where it started. That was the first of 0-4 for the Buckeyes. And just look at these scores now. The Gator Bowl was unbelievable. Taj Boyd, we had him on the radio show the other day. He was the architect of the 40-35 win in the 2014 Orange Bowl, which was a great back-and-forth game. Maybe Urban Meyer's worst moment ever as an Ohio State coach was the 2016 college football playoff, 31-0. And then, of course, last year's Fiesta Bowl was as good a football game as I've ever seen. I mean, those were just two unbelievable teams, and Ohio State incredibly talented. But that's right there is 0-4. And that sticks in the craw of every Buckeye fan I know. And listen, I hear it every day. The referees did this. Dog ate my homework. Light was in my eyes. Hey, you got to go play, man. And I can't wait for the game on Friday. Ohio State wants a piece of Clemson, and the Tigers will be there going to the Sugar Bowl. Well, by the way, Clemson, speaking of OH, Clemson is OH for New Orleans. Do you know that? Tigers
are
OH and 3 in New Orleans. I mean, something's got to give Friday night at the Sugar Bowl. Clemson has they're 0-3 in the Sugar. Ohio State is 0-4 against Clemson. So something has to give on Friday night.
Yeah. Speaking of the Tigers in television and the ACC in television, numbers released yesterday. Clemson-Notre Dame were two of the most watched football games this season. The Clemson-Notre Dame ball game from November 7th on NBC was just better than 10 million people. And the ACC championship game with Notre Dame and Clemson on ABC, just under 10 million people. So that's two of the highest rated television games so far.
No, those are the two highest. It's one and 1A is Clemson and Notre Dame. They're not two of. They are the two. Which, again, the ACC's had a remarkable year. When you start talking about two of the four in the college football playoff, top two watched games in college football this year, or Tiger Paws and Irish. And then you throw out the AP All-American teams came out yesterday. First team, second team, third team, which we'll get into later. The ACC and the SEC placed 19 players apiece at the top. It's been a great year for the league. And if it turns out that Notre Dame or Clemson can win the national championship and put the cherry on top of the cake, I mean, it really has been a remarkable season, given the pandemic and the fact that we had so much uncertainty in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, coming up bottom of the hour, Dabo Swinney will visit with Pac from yesterday's off campus on SiriusXM ESPNU Radio, Channel 84. But when we come back, Brian Kelly talks to the media yesterday in South Bend. You saw some of it here on ACC Network. We'll get to some of Coach Kelly's comments, principally the one that we really don't have anything to prove. Fair or not? Brian Kelly's comments and your reactions along the way today on Packer and Durham. Good morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We go 1, 2, 3. There's only one more spot. At number 4, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame will play Alabama in the Rose Bowl in Arlington.
These are the opportunities as a kid that you just dream of. It's the biggest stage in college football. It's the Rose Bowl.
We know that we're going to get the best shot of every team we play, especially now in the playoffs, where any team could be good. Anything could happen.
Trying to make something happen. Book, are you kidding me?
Ian Book has an opportunity once again to try to prove the world wrong.
He's very athletic, to make all the throws. He's a really good job of keeping his eyes downfield and finding receivers.
He presents almost every problem. You can't really do a lot to stop him.
Mack looks, throws. He's going to take it in. Touchdown, Alabama. A BB of a throw from Mack Jones.
He's fearless. When he sees something open, he's not afraid to let it rip.
Slanting towards the end zone. Najee Harris, touchdown.
He's got swagger. He's got a belief that he's the best.
This team has always come back with a resilience and an edge about them, and they will against Alabama as well.
Right where we want to be, but at the same time, we have a long way to go.
They say Notre Dame might struggle in big games, and we have an opportunity to silence that.
Opportunity indeed. Notre Dame absolutely has an opportunity on Friday. No doubt. Now, can they do something about it, Wes? That's the question. Opportunity's going to be there. Now, can you do something about it?
Yeah. Brian Kelly really took the headlines yesterday. We go straight to this sound. Does Notre Dame have something to prove given their recent postseason performances?
No. No, I mean, we're knocking at the door every year, playing really good teams and great opponents, and there's elite football teams. I don't know why this narrative continues to pop up when we're always in the games. No, we haven't won a national championship. That's correct. I'm not changing the record. But we are there every single year, and we are grinding it out just like everybody else. And only one team gets to celebrate at the end of the year. And we're going to keep banging it, and we're going to keep getting back here. And that's our job, and that's our challenge each and every year, is to compete for a national championship, and we'll continue to do that.
Wes, in my humble opinion, I think some of what Brian Kelly said, I totally agree with. There's some stuff he said I totally disagree with. Are they grinding every year? No doubt. Has he done a great job at Notre Dame? Without question. 4 consecutive years of 10 or more wins per season. Incredible job. Are they there every year? No, they are not. This is the second time Notre Dame has been in the college football playoff. If he's confused why there's a narrative, I can make this perfectly clear. The reason there's a narrative is because Notre Dame, every single time, in this kind of moment, whether it be a BCS game, whether it be a New Year's Day 6 game, whether it be a college football playoff game, whether it be a conference championship game, Notre Dame has gotten smoked. That's why there's a narrative. I mean, there isn't like, hey, we're 2-7. Look at this graphic. I mean, these games are blowouts. I mean, here is 6 L's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 L's. You're outscored by 144. The closest loss was to Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl, where they got smoked by 16. I mean, that's why there's a narrative. There's nobody doubting that Notre Dame's a really great program. I mean, there's no question. Academically, fantastic. Again, last 4 years, 10 or more wins. Nobody's knocking that. There's no disrespect of Aggie. Notre Dame's only one of five teams that have now made multiple college football playoff appearances. Only five teams have done that. Only five. They're one of them. Mm-hmm. They should be congratulated. The narrative is, when you get to the party, what are you doing there? I mean, if they go and get waxed Friday by Alabama, for argument's sake, if, biggest word in sports, that narrative is going to be a giant snowball in 21. Got news for you.
Right.
If they go and play a competitive game and lose close, terrific. Well, again, you want to win the game. I get all that. But I'm talking about the narrative that, hey, here we go again with the Irish. That narrative exists because Notre Dame, quite frankly, has failed miserably in these kind of games. So, you know, now you got to go prove it. Like I said, you're going to get the opportunity. Now go do something with it. And if you win the game, that's how you eliminate narratives. There used to be a thing called Clemsoning, right? The media loved it. There's Clemson. Yep. Hey, win a big game, then lose a game. You know how you got rid of Clemsoning? You started wearing people out of note. It's the only way you can change a narrative is to win. All right? And I'm not talking about beating, you know, Georgia Flight School. I'm talking about, hey, you got a number one or a number two
that's
beside your name.
Pre-flight.
Whatever. If you got a number one or a number two beside your name, you go wear them out. Go wear them out. And that eliminates narrative. So part of what Brian Kelly's saying, I'm totally buying. Part of what he's saying, I'm thinking he's in fantasy land. You've got to go and show up for this guy. And, you know, we let off the show about Miami. You know, you lay an egg like you did against North Carolina. And you better not lay one tonight at the Cheez-It Bowl. I think Notre Dame's kind of got the same vibe, right? They've had a tremendous year. They're in the playoff. A win-win for them in the league.
Right.
But they got smoked in Charlotte at the ACC title game. I mean, that was a total beatdown. If they go beatdown to close the year, there's a different taste in your mouth about Notre Dame 2020, even though they won 10 games. Right? I mean, this is all about perception. And if you want to change the narrative, go do something in a game that matters. This is a game that matters coming up this week. Look at these numbers.
Yep.
Notre Dame.
Regular season loss by an eventual college football playoff team. There you go.
They're number one.
Now, we know Georgia came to within second and 20. Yeah, Georgia came to within second and 26 of cutting that deal to the top.
Yeah,
but you see the way that falls.
Wes, even that Georgia stat losing by 23 to Auburn. Remember, it was a couple weeks later, Georgia saw that same Auburn team to win a conference championship. Mm-hmm. They then went into the college football playoff.
Right.
And they won a college football playoff game, and they were literally a play away from a national championship. Notre Dame doesn't have any of that. They don't have a conference championship.
Well,
they haven't won a college football playoff game. I mean, so, again, I hate to keep beating this up, but you can't discard the narrative when the narrative is you haven't won a major bowl game since 94. You've been awful, and I do mean the word awful, in the BCS. You've already gotten smoked once in the college football playoff. Now you get another opportunity. That's why there is a narrative with Notre Dame in these kind of games.
And that's where, Mark, it's interesting because we can spend some time investing in this, and we'll talk more about this on our Friday show that starts at 11 a.m., by the way, the Packer and Durham brunch that leads up to a two-hour huddle. This is where Notre Dame is at that part you just brought up. This is like Notre Dame. You know, Clemson gave up the, 60-some in the Orange Bowl to West Virginia that night?
70.
This is where... Yeah, 70 to West Virginia. It felt like 60-some. Maybe it felt like 80-some to some Tiger fans. Nonetheless, so Notre Dame's at the point in the game, though, where they've got to take the next step. We just ran the numbers for you. I mean, go down to the bottom of the list. The Fiesta Bowl, T.J. Hushmanzada, Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, the whole deal. Oregon State still scoring, and Drew Brooks is selling Cokes in the upper deck at Sun Devil Stadium that night. I mean, that's how bad that game was. Notre Dame hasn't delivered when they've gotten to this point. So now they've got to take the next step. If Notre Dame wants to move into the group of three, right, Mark? What do we say all the time? It's really kind of Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State, right? Those are the three that year in and year out, at least here for the last handful of years, have been kind of the the pillars of where college football is, right? That's fair.
I'd throw Oklahoma in there, too. They've been in the four playoffs, even though they've not won one, and okay. That is their narrative. Hey, when are you going to guys going
to
win?
That's okay. There you go. So that's where we're talking about. Notre Dame has been to now their second college football playoff, their third since we went to the BCS formula that Commissioner Kramer kind of helped constitute. And now Notre Dame, like Oklahoma, you can keep coming back. You can get all the nice jackets, but you got to take the next step. You got to take the next step. And that's where Notre Dame is. And it is, you know, on paper and in the media and for most of the people, it is David and Goliath on Friday afternoon. David and Goliath, you're playing great. Pac keeps talking about 2 years ago out in Santa Clara. It was David and Goliath that night. And Clemson beat what many called the greatest team in college football, right?
I heard it from some talking heads, especially SEC Network. It was the greatest football team ever created. And I'm sitting there watching them get absolutely humiliated to the point where Clemson beat the narrative out of people. To the point where people have to make up stuff the next year. So that's the only way it changes.
There you go.
Right.
That's exactly right. The only way this is ever going to move the needle for Notre Dame is Notre Dame has to win the game. The old Herm Edwards tactic. And that's exactly what the challenge is for Brian Kelly. Are they one of the 5 or 10 best teams in college football on a regular basis? Sure. Yeah. Especially in the last handful of years when he's done a sensational job. You know, the guy's done a great job. I mean, it's not Charlie Weiss coaching these cats. No. It's not Bob Davey. It's not right. Ty Willingham. He's done a great job coaching Notre Dame. But what Notre Dame has to understand is that because you're Notre Dame, you're not automatically included into it like you may have been in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. It's a different time in college football, and that field moves. And so in order to get there now, you got to go win. And back in the day, it was a different whole concept. Now, it's literal. And the game is set for Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and I think it's going to be really entertaining. I don't know if Alabama blows them out. I don't know if it's close. I just think the game's got a lot of interesting things to it.
I think the best thing Notre Dame's got going for them is that everyone outside of that locker room.
Everybody.
And let me emphasize the word everyone. Everyone outside that locker room is going to spew this week. Oh, here we go again. Oh, yeah, I told you so. It's the best thing could happen to Notre Dame because everybody thinks you're going to get beat and get your doors blown off, right? And this is a team with 17 senior starters. I can't emphasize that enough. And you know they are sick of it. They're sick of hearing about it. They're sick of what happened to them against Clemson. And yeah, here we go. Clemson, well, you knew that was going to happen. I mean, how many times have you heard that? So the Irish have had 2 weeks to hear all of it. You don't belong. Should have been A&M. Should have been Cincinnati. Can't believe they're back in it. Why we put these guys in there? You know, you're going to hear that ad nauseum. I think it fuels a senior-dominated football team. Now, whether or not you're good enough to go win, hey, you get a chance to prove that Friday. It doesn't matter what any talking head says, any hairdo, you get a chance to prove it. But I think that when you have great senior leadership, and Notre Dame does, and Brian Kelly's a really good football coach, really good, I think that all goes into Notre Dame's favor, all of it, because they're going to come out and play with their hair on front. Now, again, if they're not talented enough to beat them and Notre Dame doesn't get breaks because Bama's going to have to screw things up. Let's be honest. They're 20-some point favorite smart people out in the desert and all that great stuff. But I think when you've got that kind of senior leadership, you thrive when people doubt that you can get something done, especially coming off a thumping, right? And they got thumped here in Charlotte. So I think if you're Notre Dame, you soak it all in and say, yeah, that's right. You guys keep doubting us. Because we're going to show up Friday. And you know what? We're good up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And we'll play a little keep away from Alabama, do the best job we can. And if Alabama has a tough day, hey, we're going to bloody your nose. So, again, I think if you're a Notre Dame fan and coach and player and administrator, yeah, you take those arrows for 2 weeks, you let it build up, and then you unleash on Friday and see if you're good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Good points. Interesting, right? Miami playing a critical game today. as they kind of continue their move back. We're talking about 20 to 21 with Miami. Yeah. Now we're talking about Notre Dame Friday afternoon crossing that bridge in Arlington a little bit too. Big underdog to the Crimson Tide. All right, when we come back on this Tuesday program, Mark Packer's visit with Dabo Swinney from yesterday's edition of Off Campus on ESPNU Radio, Sirius XM 84. You'll hear from the coach of the Tigers and more after this on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network. Good morning.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. As Wes pointed out, game day in the ACC. Canes football, Cheez-It Bowl. We'll have the coveted invite. I'll be coming up at the traditional 9:30 spot.
From today. Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find out what coveted invite to go to is with the Cheez-Its. We'll get into all that stuff with her. Yesterday,
Davos, I think, you know what, I noticed something. I think Katie and Tim Hasselbeck and Dave O'Brien all got sent like Cheez-It Bowl souvenir boxes of Cheez-Its.
They should have. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, what's
it look good on your shelf? Look good on my shelf if we had that.
Yeah, but we're not part of the process. I mean, we're not tied in the bowl. We're not doing anything other than talking about it. I mean, they're getting paid to do it.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Just in the basement.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Plus, if they good send point. Me, all I will right. Tell you this. If they send me something, they better send extras because whatever I get, half of it goes to Chester and Fuller. And they are pro Cheez-Its as well, by the way. Chips, crackers, they're into it big time. All right. Yesterday, Dabo Swinney joined me on Off Campus. Normally, it's a Thursday conversation that we play on Friday. But, you know, they got this game on Friday. You might have heard of it, the Sugar Bowl. So Dabo joined me yesterday, and I asked him point blank leading things off, what does Ohio State do better this year than they did last year?
I just think that, you know, they're a complete team, really the same. I mean, just like us, I mean, we were a really good team last year. I just think that, if anything, it's probably just the knowledge of the quarterback. I mean, he's a more complete player than he was last year, second year. I mean, just kind of like, you know, Trevor was great in his first year, but he just got better and better as he went. And, you know, the more knowledge he has, et cetera. And that, if I had to say one thing, I think, you know, as good as Justin was last year, I think he's better. I think he's more confident in what Ryan's asking him to do. And other than that, you know, it's just kind of more of the same. I mean, they're really good on both sides of the ball. They're built to stop the run defensively. They're really good in the front seven. Structurally, they're, you know, similar offensively. It all starts with the run game. They got two big, strong backs. You know, maybe this might be their best group of receivers. These guys are really, really good. But that's probably it.
All right, same thing with your team. What are you better at this year than you were a year ago?
I think we're better in the trenches defensively. I think we're deeper, you know, for sure. I think we're a little more dynamic in the trenches defensively than we were this time last year. Certainly Miles Murphy, we didn't have him. We didn't have Brian Brzee. Tyler Davis is a year older. He's more experienced now. Baylen Specter, the year that he's had. Nolan Turner was a first-year starter last year. You know, so I just think it's a little bit more personnel-driven. Trenton Simpson, you know, some of the maybe, like I said, an influx of talent that has allowed us to be a little more dynamic. But we're a little deeper at this point, you know, with our depth, especially inside at D-tackle.
I know that Ohio State and Clemson are in two different leagues, but it seems like you guys are connected at the hip. And what I mean by that is you've dominated your respective conferences. This is going to be the fourth time you've seen them since 2013. I've already heard you say, hey, we kind of recruit the same kind of players. We go after the same kind of players. Even though you don't really see them, you really do see them. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
Yeah, absolutely, because we've seen them a lot. So, you said this is, what, our fourth time since 2013. So, and then obviously just played them last year. And we do. We recruit a lot of the same players. I think we have similar, you know, values and attributes and things that we look for, you know, as far as things that fit our program, et cetera. And you know, we've had dynamic quarterbacks, but seems like we get on certain kids, you know, Ohio State's already there and vice versa. Yeah, it's become a pretty good little rivalry.
I don't know where you were, and I don't even know if you saw the game, but Tuesday will mark the 42-year anniversary of the Woody Hayes, Danny Ford, Charlie Ballman crazy Gator Bowl, the first go-around between Ohio State and Clemson, which ironically was Woody Hayes' last game. Do you remember watching that game?
Was that 78 or 79? What year was that?
1978.
78. So I was nine, so I'm pretty sure I didn't watch it. But I've seen, you know, highlights and obviously seen the incident, which is really unfortunate. But, yeah, I don't know. I was probably playing pickup basketball or something somewhere at that time as a nine-year-old. But certainly have heard all about it through the years.
All right. A couple other things here.
I'm just a young buck, Pack. Well, I mean, you were probably driving a car and, hanging out on Friday night in 19, right, whatever it was, 79. But I was just a little toddler.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? That's exactly what I was doing. I was 35 years old and working at a manufacturing plant. Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing in 1978. Crazy. I don't know if I've ever, of all the years I've been doing this stuff, I don't think I've ever heard more time wasted, and I'm getting ready to waste some time on it right now, on a coach's poll that I promise you, and I'm probably preaching the choir here, will have absolutely, positively zero impact on a football game. And I cannot believe how much time has been spent on your poll. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I didn't know my poll mattered so much. I mean, heck, I should have just put us number one. if our poll had that type of weight, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, but, you know, it is what it is. And I knew when I did it that that's what people would want to talk about. And I don't think I was the only. I think there were several coaches that didn't put them in the playoffs. But I seem to be the only one they talk about, and I've been, like I said, very clear. If it had been Alabama that was 6-0, I wouldn't have put them in there either. I didn't rank anybody in the top 10 that didn't play at least 9 games. And what we've all been through this year, there was no way that I felt like – and again, it has nothing to do with Ohio State. It's not that they're not good enough. They're good enough to beat us. They're good enough to win the national championship. That's a whole different question. I just didn't think – that it was fair for teams to be punished for playing more games.
By the way, how would you describe your relationship with Ryan Day?
Really good. Really, really good. Yeah. I mean, really good. I have a lot of respect for Ryan. We've had several conversations, you know, offline and different things here and there. I mean, I think he's a great coach. He's doing a great job. I think he does it the right way. I think he's passionate about his players and there's a lot of coaches I think highly of and would have done the same thing. It has nothing to do with who we were playing or who their coach is at all. People just want to, you know, make up their own narratives, which is fine. But I really like Ryan Day.
Did you know that the two most watched college football games this year was Clemson-Notre Dame game one, Clemson-Notre Dame game two? Did you know that?
I did not know that. I'm not surprised to hear that. You know, two great games, highly anticipated games. And, you know, especially with the way the first one went, double overtime. And then you're playing the second one is the championship game and their first year, you know, in a conference playing for a championship and a lot on the line, man. I mean, you know, we got to win the game to get in the playoffs. So I'm not surprised to hear that.
What would you suggest to Brian Kelly in Notre Dame about joining the ACC? What bit of advice would you give them?
I mean, I think it's a no-brainer.
No-brainer, says Dabo. So there you go. Coach always having a good time. But it's all business this week, though. Hey, listen, it's Friday is go time down at the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, and it's a different trip. Everybody's talked about bowl trips and so forth. We'll talk to Katie at 9:30 about what's going on in Orlando. That's one of the places where it's a stark contrast to what it typically is. So this is more like a road game for these teams. They go in the day before, not 4 days before, that type deal. Everything is done virtually, the pressers and all those type things. So you kind of get a feel for that when you're watching Brian Kelly talk to you in a Zoom with the background of the college football playoff and not from Pasadena, right? But nonetheless, going to be interesting to watch Clemson. I think the part that we forget about his relationship with Ryan Day here real quick, it probably stems back to when Ryan Day was the offensive coordinator at Boston College for Steve Adazio. And then he went to join Chip Kelly, who he worked for at New Hampshire and played for at New Hampshire with the Philadelphia Eagles when Chip Kelly went to the NFL. In fact, spent time with Chip at not only Philadelphia, but also briefly in San Francisco before joining Urban Meyer at Ohio State. So their relationship's a little bit longer in the tooth than just kind of knowing each other at the coaches' convention, as they say, or the Nike trip, which is also a very popular place where these coaches get to kind of break bread, if you will. But great respect there, and looking forward to the good ball game on Friday night, Pack.
Ohio State, after last year's game, which was a great football game. I mean, it's as good a game as you can watch. They felt like, hey, you know what? We left some meat on the bone. We were the better team. We should have won, woulda, coulda, shoulda. And again, like refs, yeah, you come up with whatever you want. But Ohio State has circled the calendar. They've wanted Clemson for a year. And don't think for a second that that didn't get back to Clemson, because the Tigers are sitting there going, hey, you know what? You want a piece of us? That's cool. We'll be there Friday night, and we'll be ready to play. And I'll be honest with you, on the surface, I think this year's Clemson's team matches up better to Ohio State than last year's team did, in my opinion. Now, again, you still got to go out and play and execute and work. And, you know, ball bounces funny sometimes. You never know how all that stuff works out. But there's some numbers about this game that if I was an Ohio State fan, I'd be very concerned. That secondary has gotten punctured by some just okay offenses. Clemson will be the best team that they have seen. Guarantee you.
Yeah. We got plenty more coming up on this show. We've got conference cuts ahead in the 8 o'clock hour. We got over, under, and even a true false bonus still to come in this show. We got your phone calls, 844-SAY-ACCN. You know, between Christmas, New Year's, you got some thoughts. We may have some answers. We may not. We got a segment in the Power Hour today, best quotes from the football season with audio and video, Pack. Full deal here, not just stuff on screens.
Again, the smart people in Bristol, the real talent is in Bristol. We just, like I said, we spend time in our respective basements and homes and lead the parade. Yep. But the smart people are in Bristol. Keep telling you.
Well, you know, when you grow up in Sun Devil Stadium, walking in the upper deck, selling the Coca-Colas in the trays, a lot of things can happen as you move forward in life, right?
It's part of the entrepreneurial flair that our staff has. We can wear multiple hats. That's
exactly right.
Yep.
When we come back, Miami excited to play tonight?
Better be.
Canes, you ready to go? Cowboys, Cheez-It Bowl for all the cheddar crackers you can get your hands on tonight in Central Florida. We will we'll break down the Canes in the postseason coming up next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. ACC Network, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Tonight, actually it's this afternoon, is the Cheez-It Bowl. You know what? It bothers me because I'm going to be on the air and won't be able to watch until the second half.
Turn the TV on.
No, I can't. No,
put it on mute.
No,
you know, not that hard.
Well, no disrespect. When you're doing a show solo and I got calls from all over the place, I got to really concentrate. See, if I got the TV stuff on, you know, it's distracting. So I won't be able to watch it until the second half. But nevertheless, it's a big deal, though. Big deal for the Canes to look good tonight. Take care of business.
Well, tell you what, let's just go right to the head ball coach of the University of Miami, shall we? Manny Diaz. What's his final message to his team going into the ball game? Here you go.
Our final message, number one, is we've got to be the most excited team to play. You know, I think that's important in bowl games, probably more important this year than ever before. And then we have to finish. You know, this is going to be a very difficult game to win. And it's going to be a grinded out affair, I think, for both teams. And there's going to be back and forth, which, you know, in bowl games, there always is back and forth. And be prepared to go for 60 minutes, because I think that's what it's going to take.
Wes, his first point is so spot on. You've got to be excited to play.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, prior to the pandemic and COVID, with all 4,000 bowl games that we have now, how many times do you turn one of those things on and you can tell a team just simply doesn't care? Doesn't care. It's like, hey, we've got all the parting gifts and we saw the visits and let's just get out of here. So Manny Diaz is 1,000% right. And you got to figure the game you did last year with Miami, where they were not excited about being there and got shut out. You know, he's got to bank on that experience and say, no, we're not doing this again. So let's go compete and let's go put on a show. And again, that's what I'm expecting from Miami. And look at this ugly list. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Talking about the narrative. Here's your narrative. 9 L's, 1 W in your last 10 ball games. Goodness gracious.
Oh, that 2019 Walk-On's Independence Bowl now.
Ooh. How about making a road trip to Shreveport to put a zero up? I mean, you're talking about a lot of fun. Ugly. So they got to
show. Remember the report came out before? Remember the report came out before the game, like an hour before the game, that Dan Enos would not be retained as the offensive coordinator and all this, and holy smokes. It was all the trappings of just bad. And that shows you just how far they've made that move in a year. Right. And yeah, De'Aaron King's got a lot to do with it, right? But also Jalen Phillips, Quincy Roche, Bubba Bolden, Nestor Silvera. But make no mistake, QB1, as Pat calls him, is the guy. And look, I keep talking about bridge games. You go through a list of bowl games, all right? Look, and Oklahoma State's got some stuff on the line tonight, and they've had a good year in the Big 12. But this team right here has got an opportunity to set the table for 21 with this win, especially this guy. This guy can be in the talk for the trophy if he finishes strong tonight. It's just a matter – that's just the way the game gets played, okay? We start pondering, you know, players. Somebody will come out with a way too early top 25 after the CFP's over. Well, Miami, you win the game tonight, you're probably in the top 10, okay? You lose the game tonight, 17-25 with a lot of question marks, okay? But I see this. I do believe they'll be excited to play. I think they've got to show you that the 62 to Carolina was a fluke. Now, was it a fluke? That's up to them to prove it tonight, because this crowd tonight is pretty good on the defensive side, and they've had a nice year on the defensive side. You know this, Pac. You got a lot of Big 12 folk call you in the afternoons. This is a program, too, that'll be excited to be there. Why? Because they're falling in behind Oklahoma. They're falling in behind Texas. Every time you talk about teams in the Big 12, you get Oklahoma and Texas before you ever get to Stillwater, right? And so they're going to be excited to prove a point against a team that 3 weeks ago was in the top 10. I think that sets up for a heck of a ball game.
Couple things real quick. Oklahoma State talking about wanting to change the narrative. There was a time this season with Oklahoma already losing two games right out of the gate, you're like, finally, the Sooners are out of the Big 12 picture. It's all about us now. Yeah. The Pokes were the go-to story. Texas had lost. Oklahoma had lost. Iowa State lost their opener against Louisiana. Oklahoma State was like the go-to guy, and it all fell apart. So they've got something to prove at the end. Also, keep in mind, they were number two in the Big 12 in running the football. And we saw what the Canes didn't do the last time they strapped it on to play. They gave up 554 on the ground in North Carolina. So they've got to show up and say, guess what? We're here to play some tackle football. And as Coach said, man, Diaz, we've got to be the most excited team on the field to play. He is 1,000% right. So we'll see what happens later this afternoon.
All right, get ready. Hour two of Packer and Durham coming up, and we kick off the 8 o'clock hour following up on a question that Packer asked Dabo Swinney. What in the world were you doing when you voted Ohio State 11th? We'll talk about that, but here's the other thing. You start digging into some of the details on the Buckeyes, you might see why. We'll come back and talk about it right after this.
Packer and Durham.